It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Right guys, so we are live and back with another episode of the podcast. Today we're welcoming on Gavin Meenan, who I'm really excited to speak to about his journey into fitness and all the cool things that he's doing. He's an awesome coach. We connected through social media. I've been seeing his adverts for his programs for a couple of months now, and I just had to get him on the show because I know he's got a ton of value and experience that he can share with you guys. So first of all, just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, Gavin.
You're welcome, Alex, and it's great to be here. Privileged to be on your podcast, and thanks for having me.
So I just want to dive into your story like we do with all the guests that come on this show. It's really nice for everyone to hear kind of your journey into fitness and how you started out. Where did this journey begin for you?
Well, I've always had an interest in health and fitness since a kid. Done a lot of martial arts, you know, as a seven-year-old, started karate, that transitioned into boxing, then into kickboxing. And my uncle as well was a competitive bodybuilder, so he was a massive influence as a kid. But to cut the long story short, after I finished school, I went on to study a sports science degree. And after I obtained that degree, I decided that I'd like to learn the business side of sport and leisure. I had aspirations to perhaps open my own gym or run a gym at some stage. So I felt that would be of great value to me. So I spent another 4 years in a college in Sligo here in Ireland, and I got an honours degree in business and in sport and fitness. And I left college in 2008. It was bang in the middle of the massive recession we had several years ago, and there were no jobs whatsoever to be found. So I had to go and search pretty deep. And basically, again, put the long story short, after about 3 months of continuous interviews, you know, obviously my first preference was to get a job in the fitness industry, but it was jobs were limited, people were not hiring. And I ended up working as a trainee retail manager for a sports store. And did that for about 2.5 years. And after 2.5 years, I was made redundant. And I was back to square one again, looking for a job. Several months passed, several difficult months, because at the time, my daughter had been maybe 2 months old when I was made redundant. So now I had another commitment. Yeah, I felt the pressure and the stress of that and not being able to provide for her and the family, and went through a little bit of a difficult period. But eventually I got a job for another retail sports store, a fashion store, and I work for them as a store manager. But after, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months, I was fired from that job. So, yeah, I was back to square one again. And things kind of gradually progressed from there, or regressed, I suppose. I got a number of small jobs around the town just to make ends meet, really. Working security in a pub, working a few shifts in a few retail stores in town. Again, as I said, just trying to make ends meet and bring some income home for the family and to provide for my daughter. And, you know, some time passed and, again, I wasn't getting a lot of hours with the work, so I spent a lot of time as a stay-at-home dad at the time. And I remember one day we ran out of milk powder in the house, so I got my then baby daughter and brought her into the shop to get some milk powder. I gave the cashier my credit card or debit card, which it was at the moment, and there was insufficient funds in my account, so I couldn't even buy my daughter milk powder. So that was a major turning point in my life, and you know, it was that time I started to reflect on how I got to that point and came up with, you know, some processes, sat down, came up with some ideas about how I can get out of this rut. And I figured that seeing as I can't find a job, I could try and make a job. And I thought, okay, what am I good at? And what am I interested in? And, you know, my passion has always been helping people. You know, from a young age, my parents ran a pub and I was always a people person. You know, I was big into customer service. I was big into making people feel happier, providing some value in their life. You know, in the pub, spoke with a lot of alcoholics and gained a lot of life lessons from them as well. And I carried it with me into other aspects of my life. And I guess I sat down and I figured, okay, let's maybe start some personal training because I've got the qualifications and I'm just going to put myself out there. So from that day, I started a Facebook page. I think I just called myself One-to-One Personal Training. Very simple. Facebook page. Went on to Vistaprint, got a load of business cards and sent those business cards everywhere around town, anywhere I could put them. I had them there. And yeah, business was very, very slow to begin with. Luckily, one of my old college friends got in touch and he was interested in some training and he wanted my help basically to improve his fitness, get stronger, lose a bit of weight. So that was great. He got on board and yeah, okay. So now I've got a client and I know where to bring him. So I was, I had no gym to go to and I had nothing. I basically was winging it, completely winging it. So I decided, okay, there's a hotel up here. There's a gym in the hotel. I'll go in, I'll bring him in, pretend we're kind of training together, say nothing. And that's what I did for a few weeks until they realized that this guy was being personal trained by me. And, you know, long story short, it's okay, we're not allowed personal trainers in here, insurance reasons. Da, 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 da. So I was like, okay, strike one. So, of course, didn't give up that. I said, okay, look, leave it with me. I'll come up with some solutions with this. So basically went to the next gym. Same thing. The gym was upstairs in the sports complex and did the same thing. At this stage, I think I had maybe three clients. So I had a few people who I was bringing on board. And I think it was in there for maybe 2 days before they realized what I was doing. So yeah, again, kicked out of there. So this was during the summertime. So I decided to bring my clients outdoors for a while. There was like an outdoor gym near the house. So I said, okay, let's make use of this until I find a more viable solution. So over time, you know, some days it would start raining, like the Irish weather is typical, you know, there aren't great summers here. And clients were getting a little bit peeved off about the weather and about being brought outside and, you know, getting wet during the sessions. So I was like, okay, I need another solution here. So again, I took a, I took another stab at going into a gym and basically saying nothing, going upstairs, bring my clients in, and training them. Now, this other gym was actually a gym in my old college, so I thought maybe a bit at my stand for me in the future. If they do catch me, I could maybe come up with some kind of argument and have some rapport with them. Yeah, I actually managed to get away with it in there for, I'd say, the best part of 5 months, maybe 5 to 6 months. At that stage, I had maybe 8 to 10 clients, and basically they weren't paying a lot of attention to what was happening in the gym, so they kind of didn't, I suppose, hardly realize that I was even up there. So that worked in my favor, and one day, the gym manager caught a client of mine exchanging cash or giving me some cash in hand after a session she had finished with me. And he came upstairs after she left and he said, look, are you personal training people here? Are people paying you for training them? I said, yes, they are. And he said, well, look, I'm not too sure about this. I need to speak to the manager, to his boss about it. And, you know, we'll see what happens after this. So I was like, oh no, here we are again. So I was like, this is the last resort. If it doesn't work out here, like, I am out on my ass. So he went downstairs, I gathered up my bits and went back. I was leaving the building. I approached them at the desk. I said, look, like, I understand where you're coming from, you know, but understand that, you know, this is all I have. I've been building this for 7 months now. And I said, like, if you want me to pay some kind of rent, pay something here to use the gym, like, I'm willing to do that. But, you know, I'm bringing clients, I'm bringing people into the gym. They're putting money in your till, they're bringing money in here. So it's like, you know, there's advantages here for you too. And I said, like, I'm building this. I'm going to bring more clients in, going to bring more money in. So as I said, if we could work something out, that'd be great. So he said, look, leave it with me for a few days, and I will discuss it after I speak to my boss. So luckily, things worked out there. I started paying a bit of rent and built up my reputation and my authority as a personal trainer in the local area in that gym. And I went from going, like, I suppose, working, you know, 3 hours a week with one client to almost 60 hours a week within the space of, I'd say, 12 to 18 months. So, things took off massively. People started seeing my clients get results, and they want to know what they were doing or who was doing this for them. So, yeah, I built up a reputation from there. And I was a yes man when I started. I was like, you want to train me? Yes, come on in. You want to train me? Yes, 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 yes. And, like, realistically reflecting back, my prices were that low that it was just too good to turn down. So, as I said, I was working like 60 hours a week in the gym, becoming increasingly overwhelmed with the workload. And then there's also the stuff in the background, you know, the programming and all the feedback you need to get the clients, then the week and all this. So, like, I was completely submersed in my business to the point where I was starting to take over my life, and I was taking away from my relationship and my kid and with other areas of my life. And this, you know, there's alarm bells here that things were kind of falling apart. And I guess I was starting to resent the work as well, because I was just spending too much time on it. And when I got to that point, I reached out and I asked for help. And since that point, really, things have really come on. And, you know, I try to work in the business on my own, winging it on my own for almost 2 years before I asked for help. And, you know, if I asked for help sooner, if I reached out sooner, it would have saved me a lot of heartache and a lot of misfortune going forward. And yeah, I'm just glad I reached out and asked for help when I did. And from there, really, I've been able to reduce my hours in the gym with the personal training, and with the extra hours I had then, I decided to build an online business, I decided to start working on myself too. A lot of the clients were coming to me, you know, I was also interested in their story about where they came from, about how they got to the point where they needed help. And as you work with a client, you build rapport with them, they start to trust you, they start to open up more. And yeah, some of the stories were going really deep, you know, and it kind of, like, that really interested me to the point where I started to learn about self-development, started to learn about psychology more so, started reading a lot more books once I got a little bit more time in my hands, and realized that the reason it was so appealing to me was because I too was carrying a lot of issues and wasn't dealing with it. So it also, by helping them, it helped me too. And from there now, like, you'll see my social media, I go pretty deep on a lot of subjects. I don't hold back on much because I've been through a lot of the stuff that I talk about, the content I put out there. A lot of that's coming from a place I've been myself and have come out of it, and I'm continuing to work on. And I know the benefit that people get from that by my content. And I suppose from me having gone through it and come out the other side of it, it gives them hope too, that they too can do the same and achieve massive growth and development in their life. So that's, that's pretty much where I'm at the moment, and things are moving forward.
Such humble beginnings, Gav.
Yeah.
So really,
massive lessons learned, and continue to learn. As I said, from a lot of my clients, they had a lot of difficulties, and what I found was that, you know, yeah, getting in good shape and training a bit of body fat and building a bit of muscle, that was great for them, but it was more the confidence that they were now beaming after getting the results, the brand new and more positive outlook they had in life, that was more appealing to me than them getting the physical results. It was almost like the psychological results, and that's when I kind of had a spark and I said, look, I want to kind of delve into this a bit deeper. And as I said, I started reading books and spent a lot of time on my own self-development, through work with a mentor as well. I've learned a lot. And again, as I said, a lot of things I speak about now are places I've been myself and I've come through myself. I've kind of gone through that darkness and found some light, and I'm helping others do the same through health and fitness, I suppose, and also through their own journey of self-discovery. And encouraging that, so yeah.
Thanks for being so so open, man.
Yeah, always, man.
It's really great to hear, like, the humble beginning that you came from, and some of the struggles that you went through, and those, like, low moments, because there must have been some low moments when you went in to buy that powdered milk, and like you couldn't afford to pay for that, and that must have given you some knee jerk reactions. But it sounds like you just persevered, but you didn't really have the answers, but you just worked with what you had. And it was kind of like a DIY job where you'd go from one place to the next and just try and make it work and just see whatever you do. I know, like you mentioned, that eventually you asked for help and you got someone externally to help you with your business. But if you were to look back on how you first started in the fitness industry, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently?
I would have certainly asked for help sooner, because when you bring someone on board like a mentor, they can almost foresee the future for you, in which you cannot see, because you're just taking it day by day and you're perhaps building a business without understanding the implications or perhaps the challenges that are soon to arise from your current venture. But when you bring someone on board who's experienced that, who's gone through mistakes and failures through building their own business, you're now running a successful business, then it can help you do the same. And my only regret is I didn't reach out sooner, because it would have saved me a lot of difficult times. As I said, like, there was probably a period of 6 to 8 months there where I was completely overwhelmed, stressed out 7 days a week. And again, back then, like it was all about the clients. It was like, I got to do this for the client, do this for the client, do this for the client. And I neglected myself, neglected my family, neglected relationships, neglected friendships. And a lot of stuff had been damaged to the point of, you know, no repair, because I just neglected a lot of stuff. I was just completely consumed in business. And yeah, as I said, I should have reached out much sooner. And having someone there who helps you with the plan of action. Like when I sat down with my mentor and I told him where I was at, like, as I said, I was working like 60 hours in the gym and then all the admin work on top of it. I'd also had like a waiting list building up. I think I had like 15 names on the waiting list that I couldn't do anything with because nobody was leaving me because my prices were too cheap. And a lot of the clients with me had already achieved results, but they're just kind of coming in for the sake of it, just, you know, to have someone there supposed to support them, be accountable to. But like they were well capable to take it on their own from there on. But they were just kind of hanging on there because, again, the prices were cheap and I was completely open to helping them out. So the first thing I had to do the first thing that was recommended to me by my mentor was to come up with a whole new pricing strategy, come up with, you know, packages, like a 3-month package, a 6-month package, 12-month package. And yeah, like that was something I never even thought about starting off. I guess I started off, it was more like a hobby. I'd never thought of it as a business. And I guess as things became overwhelmingly stressful, I became busier. Then I had to develop this business mindset, which was completely new to me. So come up with this whole new pricing strategy. Again, I was almost like doubling or trebling my prices. And I had to bring this with me and communicate it to my current clients. And yeah, it was very difficult because, you know, we had these clients for a number of years, built up a lot of rapport, a great relationship with them. And now I was almost doubling the prices. And yeah, there was some difficulty with that. But I had to do that in order to grow my business, in order to grow myself too, because as I said, by increasing those prices, I could reduce my hours in the gym. So I could pretty much still get the same income on a weekly basis, but work less hours or even more income, I think, when it worked out eventually. So yeah, I cut it like from 60 hours a week in the gym to 25 hours, and I had all this free time on my hands. I was getting paid a very similar income that I had been when I was working 60 hours. And again, I said that allowed me to build another revenue stream, be it the online program. So then I started building up the online. It was back in the days of Excel sheets, very messy. If you've had experience, I'm sure you have experience with Excel. Things have transitioned since then, thankfully, but spreadsheets were just an absolute nightmare. Looking back at it, just trying to edit things on a weekly basis, programs, and just I'd spend nearly 10 hours on a Saturday or Sunday doing all the programs, maybe doing some edits, and I was all about color schemes, and like I was a bit of a perfectionist, much to my detriment, so things had to be like nicely color-coded and numbers had to be in the right area and all the rest of it. So I would spend hours doing this, and again, I was getting pulled into that, to the business consuming me again. So I had to take a little step back again. The mentor was there to pull me in the right direction, developed the website, and I was able to sell programs to the website after that. So that kind of reduced my hours a little bit. And yeah, since then, I have invested in an online platform, and that is like a breath of fresh air compared to Google Excel. So it's just so easy to manage. And now the online is my main income stream because I've got those systems in place. It allows me to be able to communicate with my online clients every single day, be able to check in with them when I want to, when I need to. It allows them to contact me if they're ever in need of my help or support. It allows me to see exactly what they're doing in the gym, how they're doing it. Again, they can upload videos of exercises. They're saving and completing their workouts when they've been in the gym and they've done it. So there's that accountability. So like before when you had to excel, like there was none of that. You'd give them a program and say, okay, check in with me at the end of the week, but you have no idea whether they've been in the gym or they've done anything. So with this new platform, all the exercises need to be ticked off and it has to be saved and completed when they've done the workout. So I know then they've been and they've done it. And if they've missed a workout, it comes up as well. And I can check in with them, see what's going on, see what's happening, see, you know, has something gotten in the way of their journey? Is there a distraction there? And we're just going to talk it out. And again, it's that accountability support is, it's just a daily thing that allows me to, allows my clients to get the best results possible because they know I'm there for them every single day. And I can be there for them every single day with the platform that I've now invested in.
I just want to do a couple of things. So one, I kind of want to dive into that platform a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I just want to circle back because this will be interesting for anyone listening. The transitional period from going from your old pricing model, which by the sound of it, you were grossly underpricing your services and then outgrown that as well in terms of your ability to get results and your demand was there as well. So what was that like? What were some of those conversations like when you had to go and speak to your existing client base and you said, hey guys, I'm changing my business. I'm switching things to this pricing structure and it's going to be 2-3 times more than what it currently is. What was that process like? Can you remember the feeling, conversations, the process? Can you kind of share that with us?
Yeah, well, going on my mentor's advice, like I was all for like sitting down with all my clients and talking this out with them about why I'm changing the prices and, you know, answering any of the questions they have or any issues they may have. But his response was, no, look, you've got a business to run. So send them all an email with that information. So that's how it was approached. To reflect back, I'm not too sure if that was the best approach going forward, but we can park that. But the email was sent. Again, it was worded as such, and you know that I'd hit the ceiling with my current business, and I had aspirations to grow more, to impact more people, and that I needed to make changes to my current model. And understanding that by increasing the prices, I was going to invest more money into having better systems, invest in myself to become a better coach. And I would have been delighted to have had them on board with me throughout that journey as well to help them get better results in the future. So that was kind of how it was worded. And an email was sent to each client individually. And I still remember the laptop in the kitchen. And the email was sent again. I sent it to my mentor first to check it. And he sent back, okay, that's all good. Send that. And it just pressing that send button, you know, I can still, you know, feel the emotion. My stomach was like in a knot because I thought, what if they're all going to leave me? What if I pissed them all off and, you know, they're going to start spreading negative rumors about me? All these, you know, fears, I suppose, came to mind. But I just went for it. And my mentor's words were like, you know, you've got to make a change or things will stay the same. And I think it was in that sentence, I said, okay, let's go. I need to do this. So I pressed it. And again, it was probably one of the best things I've done in terms of business because it just, the overwhelm just, it was gone within the first week. Now, some clients had issue with it. I did sit down and speak to them clients individually. There was maybe two clients who had a bit of an issue with it. But we talked it out. We came to solution and things were good. Most of them moved on. And as I kind of expected to, because as I said, like a lot of these clients had already got a result with me, but they're just kind of hanging on for the sake of it. And because they had left, I could now bring these other 12 to 15 clients I had on the wait list and bring them in. And when I communicated the price to them, there were no questions asked whatsoever. And I was like, wow, actually, this is easy. Like, you know, and it's, I guess, it's from getting the results, from building the reputation. And, you know, at the time as well, I was building my content on socials and I was putting myself out there more so. So people were seeing this and people wanted a piece of it. And again, when it was communicated that it was only like working out at like 5 or 6 euro a day and you're getting great results for it. You're spending like money you'd spend on a cup of coffee and a sandwich and you're improving your body, improving your life. It's like, okay, yeah, let's go for this. Like, you know? So since then, yeah, it's been like that. And the pricing structure has changed several times from that point. And it's the same with the online. Again, started at a very, very low price with the online and built that up, again, just through getting results, testimonials, my content, again, putting myself out there as an authoritative figure who knows what he's talking about and can help you get the results you want. So as that's built, the price have increased. Again, with the price increase, I'm investing a lot of that back into the business. Again, I'm paying a mentor every single month. I'm investing into this online platform and investing into myself, into my own coaching, into my own learning. And I'm writing a book as well. So a lot of money and time has been invested in that. Again, the book is there to serve the men out there to help them through a lot of the pitfalls in life and, you know, navigate through it to help them achieve their best self. So there's a lot of that going on. Again, websites, all that. So a lot of the money has been reinvested to improve my services in order to improve the results of many more men around the world now. So I've niched down, and yeah, going forward, men are going to be my main audience. I feel that I can relate more to men. I've gone through a lot of the issues that men currently have. I've gone through myself, and I can communicate that to the men. I can, you know, demonstrate how I've come through it and then help them navigate through their shitstorms and come through that as well. And yeah, that's where it's at the moment. Again, the book has got an element of training in it, but it goes much deeper than that. You know, the training is like, you know, the physical aspect, but I think to achieve your best result, it needs to go deeper. You need to dive into yourself, understanding your emotions, your thoughts, your actions, your impulses, and how they can negatively affect your life and distract you from what you need to do to improve yourself. Again, a lot of men out there are just kind of growing through the socials, see this guy on the beach, six pack out, has a hot girlfriend, and thinks, fuck, my life is pathetic. I've got none of this. Like, I'm sitting at home, working a 9-to-5 job. I'm no good. Like, I've got like this pot belly. Ugh, my life is shit. And it's like, okay, hang on a second. Like, you're only seeing one little photo of this guy's life. He's got shit he needs to deal with too. Like, imagine trying to uphold that image every single day on social media. The pressure that comes with that alone. He's got his dark days as well. And the way I kind of flip that is, like, you could look at these people and either, number one, let it drag you down and, you know, look at it from a negative aspect and say, look, I'm no good. Or else, number two, use it as a kick in the ass for your own life to up your game and do whatever you feel is necessary to fill that void in your life. So it's like, yeah, flipping that from being reactive and just kind of scrolling through this to becoming more proactive and saying, okay, that guy has got to that level. What do I need to do to get anywhere near that level or to improve my body, my life? So it's all about perspective.
I just want to dive in there in terms of the money thing. I want to circle back to that because this is kind of like a really interesting topic when it comes to charging people for a certain level of value service and be ethical about it. But how has your money mindset changed over time? And how have you watched it change? Because you talk about perspective there. How has your perspective towards money changed from that day when you go into a store and you try and make a transaction against a client to now like charging extremely more for your services? And I can imagine you're going to start charging more and more as you drill down into your niche and get better and get more recognized. How has your money mindset changed over time?
Yeah, well, I guess that's why I struggle so much and change my prices, because I didn't feel I was worth that. And again, feeling that way was a sure sign that I needed to work on myself and that I'm worth a lot more than I think. And like, as I mentioned, the results were there to see, like, people were writing up extremely, like, massive testimonials and going deep in terms of, you know, even mentioning that I helped them change their life, not just their body. People were like, had these brand new bodies, shredded fat, built muscle. And I was still going around with the mindset that, you know, it was the client who did this. Like, I had a very little part to play in it. Like, and I almost like always kind of deflected back to the client and said, like, you did all the hard work. Like, I was just there to kind of show you the way. So I never, I don't know if you call it humble, but I think I just didn't value myself. And maybe it comes back, you know, this, like, all these things have deep roots in terms of your attitude towards money or any kind of element in your life. And it's all about self-awareness and going back to perhaps my childhood. And like, money was often a scarcity in my home. Like, my dad left his home when he was 13, was working all his life. My mom was a primary school teacher for a few years, although she left that after myself and my brother were born. So money was always tight, and it was always this thing of, like, saving whatever you had to buy a house, to buy a car, or whatever it is. Like, so I guess I kind of developed that mindset that, you know, it was okay to have scarcity, that this was normal, and, like, that I was only making so much a week, and that's okay. Like, you know, that I'm still struggling to get by, but this is normal. So I had to go, like, really deep and I guess fix that or change that mindset going forward, so that I knew I was worth more. That I knew that, you know, I'm not only worth, like, 50 pence a day, that I'm worth a lot more than that. That I'm providing value to people's lives and improving their life and opening up brand new opportunities for them to perhaps even improve their income, improve their careers. And I'm left there in the background still scraping by. And it's like, okay, look, you know, you are changing people's lives, and your, like, money is basically an exchange of energy and exchange of value. So I'm providing them with value in terms of improving their life, improving the body, improving future relationships, improving future careers, income, and you need to be paid fairly for that. And that was probably one of the biggest challenges in terms of the business, because the price thing was always like I started, like, super low, like €10 an hour for, like, a training session. And you know, as I said, like, I didn't feel I was worth any more than that. There's, like, that imposter syndrome too that comes in, that you're like, oh, like, I'm just bluffing it here. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, really, like, I've got the qualifications, but, like, I've never personal trained them before. And it's like, you feel like, again, you just feel like you're not worth it. And that only comes with, again, experience and having gone through that, and, again, self-awareness, having a mentor there by your side as well to help you just change your perspective on that. And going through a process of having scarcity and then all of a sudden having an abundance, and then going, okay, hang a second, this is better. This is a better way to be. And again, as I said, it's an exchange of energy. So when you get paid for value that you've given, your energy improves. And with that, other areas of life start to improve as well. So you have more energy then to provide better value for your clients, to work on other elements of your business. Again, as I said, writing that book took a lot of energy, took a lot of time. Building the online platform took a lot of energy, took a lot of time. And even working on myself and becoming a more confident and more competent coach, speaker, writer now as well. And, like, again, as I said, that's, you know, the energy that you receive from people and receive from money, it's, you know, that's, as I said, that's where the investment comes in. They invest in me, I invest myself, I bring it back to them in terms of providing them with a better service, providing them with a brand new book, providing them with a brand new platform for the online coaching that allows a better service for them. And again, as I said, better results for them too. So Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I really love that, man. Really, really interesting to see how things change over time with your self-worth and your own personal development. And I like what you said about it flagged up the low prices you were charging flagged up that you needed work.
Yeah, exactly.
That you needed work on yourself, which is really important. It's almost an indicator that you need to build your own self-worth and your own self-image and your perception of yourself to be able to charge more. So I want to dive into more of the online stuff as well, maybe a bit more of the technical side. For anyone that's maybe gone or going through the same kind of transition as you're going through, maybe they're offline right now doing face-to-face and they want to just layer in that online aspect to their business to give them more kind of flexibility and more future opportunities. You talk about systems and having these platforms and stuff that you're using, but for anyone new, getting themselves set up online, what are some of the key things that they need in place to take on that first client, those first three clients, whatever it is, to get started? What are some of the minimum things they need, would you say, to start running an online-based business?
Well, I feel, first of all, you need to be a successful personal trainer before you become a successful online coach. I think you need to almost outgrow the personal training first before you take it on online, because again, number one, you know, when you're going online, it's very difficult to have testimonials and to build the online, because with the personal training, one major advantage you have is word of mouth, and the personal training is usually confined to your local area, and people will speak about the results, they'll speak about how you're helping them, and you know, the gym environment that you're in, and you know, how you're improving their life. And again, that will just flow from conversation to conversation and will help your business grow and will help build your reputation as an authoritative coach who gets results. So again, that's kind of the point where I was at. You know, like, all my work was obviously local. Again, I built it up like 60 hours of work in the gym. People were getting brilliant results. And the price change came at a good time because I had built up a lot of testimonials, a lot of before and afters, and it was a good place then to kind of transition it online, because then I could say, look, if you want help online, like, here's the results I can get you, here's testimonials, you know, I've helped these people get results, I can help you do the same. And with the online, you get freedom, you go to the gym whenever you want, but I'm there for you if you need me to be, and I'm there to be accountable to support you, to ensure you get the best results. And like, I feel that the personal training is almost like a stepping stone to the online platform. Like, every second trainer you talk to now wants to go online. I was like, have you built your reputation as a coach yet? Or, you know, are you skipping that step? But that's, again, that may not be right or wrong. That's just my perspective on it, to build your reputation locally first and then transition online. And as I said, because you've built up, you know, the testimonials and the before and afters. And yeah, then when it comes to systems, I use TrueCoach. It's, yeah, a great platform where, again, as I said, it allows me to communicate with my clients. I could speak to 20, 30 clients on TrueCoach within 60 to 90 minutes. Yes, and that would take you like 2 weeks to do in the gym. So it gives me more freedom too. And I think that's the massive appeal with the online coaching, is that it gives me time back to work on other projects. Like, as I said, the book now, I'm working on a new online course as well. So I have more time to build that and to add more income streams to my business. So I think that's the big appeal with the online thing. A lot of trainers, I guess, you know, have these grand ambitions of being an online coach and having a laptop and on a beach in Spain or Portugal or, you know, some foreign country, and just like, you know, check in with the clients every single day and, you know, then go off and surf or swim or drink or party, whatever. Like, but yeah, okay, if you want to do that, that's fair enough. But, you know, you're going to get pretty sick of that lifestyle too. Like, and for me, my personal happiness comes from overcoming challenges and taking on new ventures and, I guess, new avenues in my own life, so that it keeps me challenged. I'm continually testing myself. And with those small accomplishments, it's given me the confidence to move on with my life, with my business, And yeah, again, as I said, it's helping develop me as a better person, as a better coach, to help better understand people as well. And these are all just like clinks in my armor that I'm still growing as a person, and still working on myself to give my clients the best possible results. It's always going back to that.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I'm conscious of the time and kind of drawing this thing to a close right now. You've got kind of a wealth of experience in coaching and getting people results and transformations. So you must have your kind of philosophies toward coaching and the way that you service your clients. So I want to end on this question, and I want to ask you what you personally think makes a good coach. What do you think makes a good coach?
Putting yourself in your client's shoes and seeing it from their point of view. When I started coaching first, I used to push my clients like really hard in the gym, ridiculous workouts, just trying to get a result out of them. Again, I was winging it. I was trying different things. And often clients would come in, they get great results in eight weeks maybe. They'd leave me, then they're back to square one again, and they never see a gym again because now they associate the gym with pain, with suffering. So it's like a great coach, I think, helps the client develop a love for training so that they can sustain it for life, and gives them a better understanding as to how they can add training and look after the nutrition around their current lifestyle, while still being able to enjoy nights out, enjoy a chocolate bar here and there, and not feel guilty about it. So again, that they can sustain that for life. Like, I'm all against these like quick fix fads where people come in, get results in 6 weeks and see you later. It's like, well, what have you learned from that? Have you changed any of your habits? Have you improved any area of your life? Like you just kind of follow the process for a short period of time and you've achieved no long-term gains from it. So I think a good coach is there to educate their clients, to bring them to a point where they can then self-sustain it and continue that journey for the rest of their life.
Awesome, man. Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, and so much of amazing insight as well into your personal experience in coaching, man. I'm really excited for the book release and all the other things that you're doing. I'm going to be keeping an eye on your progress, which looks great from the outside. And for anyone else that wants to kind of find out what you're doing and where you're at, where do you hang out? How can they find you? How can they connect with you online?
Well, I'm pretty much on Instagram every single day. So you'll find me on Instagram at Gavin Meenan. And I've got a website there as well, gavinmeenan.com. So feel free, drop me a DM and then send me a message if you feel this has added any value to your life, and I'd be happy to help you out.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.